This episode of Risen Motherhood is brought to you in part by Crossway, publisher of 10 Words to Live by Jen Wilkin. This book is a fresh biblical look at the Ten Commandments and how they impact our lives today. Jen shows us that Christians can live in obedience and holiness and delight in the law of God without undermining the grace of God. To purchase 10 Words to Live By and Jen's other best-selling books, just head over to crossway.org/risenmotherhood for more info. We're so thankful for Crossway's sponsorship.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood, and happy Mother's Day a few days early. I'm Laura, and I'm thrilled to be here with you guys, and Emily's going to join me in just a couple of minutes. But first, a few announcements all around Mother's Day. So the first thing I want to tell you guys about is, if you're not aware, we're actually a nonprofit organization here at Risen Motherhood. And so we actually have a really fun way for you to be able to give someone who kind of has it all a Mother's Day gift. One thing that we offer is that you can donate in honor of someone that you love to Risen Motherhood. So what that means is you make a donation to us, and then we will actually, depending on the amount, we'll either write them a handwritten note to let them know that you have donated and contributed to the ministry of Risen Motherhood in their name and in their honor, or we'll also send an e-card, just depending on the amount. So you can go to the page at risenmotherhood.com/dedicate gift. So head over there to learn all about it. It's just a unique way to honor a mom in your life. And the other thing that I want to tell you guys about, if you're still looking for an idea of a gift, I don't know if you guys all know, but we wrote a book, Emily and myself. It's called Risen Motherhood, Gospel Hope for Everyday Moments. And it's just a book that's designed to encourage moms wherever they're at in motherhood to understand how their faith should inform their motherhood and give them gospel hope to find joy and freedom and to not feel as burdened in their motherhood. So you can check that out. We designed it specifically so that it would be really, really beautiful, something that feels giftable and fun to share with your friend or with a family member. So check that out at risenmotherhood.com/book. Okay, I think that's all that I have for announcements for you guys. Let's get to the show.
We are back in our obedience series, and today we're talking all about God's plan for our lives, His will, you know, like all the questions that we have about obedience today. No, just kidding. Lower expectations.
Yes, we are going to talk about God's wonderful plan for our lives that we hear so many people talk about. And I do think, I mean, I'm going to be honest, Em, like most, if not nearly all, of my anxiety in motherhood definitely comes down to me feeling like I just need to make the exact right decision here.
Like, oh, absolutely.
That I'm consumed by it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I'll put so much weight on that one moment. Like, if I can just get this right, it's going to cause this domino effect on all the other things in life. When in the meantime, I'm maybe not focusing on how I'm treating my children in that moment or how I'm loving my husband or how no matter what decision we make, I'm going to walk in faith in whatever the Lord brings.
Well, recognizing, I think that there could be a lot of right decisions.
Right.
And oftentimes I kind of tell myself, you know, the whole saying right now lately is do the next right thing. And I think that's true. Go Frozen. It's great. But sometimes I feel like I'm just going to be able to do the last right thing to do. Like, it's the very last thing that I can come up with. And like, here we go. We're just rolling into it.
Well, I think some of it goes back to wanting a shortcut for me.
Absolutely.
Where just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Because then that removes my need to feel weak and dependent and pray and follow the Lord. And I'm being sarcastic here, but just that idea that if we make it about the thing, then it's about us and our strength and our effort and us kind of figuring out God.
Yeah. Well, we want the insurance that everything is going to be fine. It's going to come out pain-free. But then we have all of these choices. I mean, 2021, there are probably 30 pacifiers to choose from. I'm not certain. I don't have a baby anymore, but I was looking at them the other day and I was like, actually, I should probably up that number to like 100. I don't know if you're a new mom, you know, there are so many pacifier options and that can stress you out. And so you are dealing with that, not just on the day that your first child is born, but all the way through. And I think we just want this security or safety of knowing that, hey, if I make the right decision, then my family and everything that I do is going to be okay.
Yeah, it's going to turn out fine. Oh, I know another one. I struggle with this, that I'm going to miss what God's will was for my life.
Amen.
And my motherhood.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss it. I'm going to look back and realize we actually were supposed to move to this other place and do this whole other thing. Or we'll talk about this even in relation to our work and motherhood and our, you know, creative endeavors or hobbies or the vocation that we're getting paid for. Like, well, am I missing what God's will is for me here? Or am I out of step and God has this train that's going the other direction and I'm not on it? And there are some partial truths in some of that, but then it also can get real, like, I've got to figure out the puzzle and I've got to find the code.
Yes. Well, haven't you ever noticed that the people who are trying to find God's will for their life are, like, super stressed out and confused? Like, when we're in that mode, we're like, I got to figure out God's will. Like, we are so stressed out and confused. Like, that doesn't make any sense. God's will is supposed to bring you peace. And he does actually have a wonderful plan for our lives, right? And it is actually specific, but I don't think it's in the way that we think. And so the good news we want to share with you guys today is you don't have to, like, quote, uncover it. He has revealed all that we need to know.
You don't have
to
decode it.
Yeah, we don't have to be detectives. We can figure it out. And it's actually way more simple than we think. So let's just get into it.
Okay, so let's lay a little bit of foundation here.
Love it.
Let's just go through. We are flying over scripture right now and saying, what is God's will for those who follow him? First and foremost, be holy as he's holy.
Sounds hard.
There you go.
Right away, I'm like, meh. But
so this is something we see absolutely in the Old Testament over and over again, and then it's echoed in the New Testament. And it actually talks about us being holy in all of our conduct. So this is something God wants us to do.
Yeah.
His will is for us to be holy.
And it is possible to grow in this.
Yes.
Right? So even though I messed with it earlier, it is possible. So with that, another one, loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So this comes from when Jesus was talking with, an expert in the law, or was it the rich young ruler? An expert in the law.
Yes.
And he was just saying, you know, hey, what do I need to do to be saved? And this was Christ's response. It was just summed up in loving God with everything we are.
As we were kind of thinking through this too, I ran across a statement that we'll link in the show notes. And it was, God wants us to obey him from the heart. And I think that's a really critical piece of the puzzle, because sometimes we want to, well, I'll just love God and I'll just love him. And we don't actually act on that.
Yeah.
But that's not right. He also doesn't just want our outward obedience or kind of this strict adherence to the laws, but our heart is far from him, right? That's like the whitewashed tomb of, you know, we're just heaping burdens on people. And so it's really important that it's both. And this is why we jumped right into love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because that is a crucial piece of the obedience puzzle and what he wants for our lives.
That's right. So another one building off love God is love others, right? Loving your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5:14 says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the good old golden rule and seeing everybody else as imago Dei, created in the image of God.
Another thing that God wants us to do is go and make disciples.
My daughter, we have a little song that says, go and make disciples. And she kept singing, go and get some diapers. And every time I read that phrase now, I just think, go and get some diapers. So that's not a command from the Lord, not to be confused as God's will for my life, but maybe some days it is.
That is amazing. That is amazing. I don't even know where to go from there.
Sorry.
Not the end of the earth. It's the end of the house. Go as far as you need to go to get a diaper.
We have a little mission field in our homes. Isn't that what they all say?
Okay. Okay, though, this is good. So God's will is for us to have a mindset of evangelism and discipleship in all we do. And it's that thing we were talking about in the first show of living risen motherhood, right? And saying we're going to teach others to bring everything in life in obedience to Christ.
Another one is bearing fruit, right? We talk about this a lot as Christians, that is kind of a catchphrase for us. But this really is God's will for us. It's to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And actually, pause for a moment, because we're going to just tease something up and coming at Risen Motherhood this summer. Emily, sorry, I can't even talk because Emily's grin is a mile wide. Emily, do you want to tell us about something?
We have a really exciting series coming this summer to the website. Our wonderful editor, Winfrey Bisley, is working really hard on it behind the scenes. We're going to have a whole series on Fruit of the Spirit this summer. And so we are going to be diving in each week into a different fruit of the spirit and looking at how that applies to motherhood and how we can live that out. And we're hoping to bring in a lot of great guest writers for that. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So look for it to come this summer. We'll talk about it on social media and all the places so you'll be informed.
Okay. Will of God. We're back.
Will of God. Okay. Here we go. There are places in scripture where it explicitly says what God wants us to do. So something like we become like Christ, right? 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is God's will, your sanctification. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the world. So there are some verses in the Bible where we can really see like, hey, this is just like a straight up, this is how we're to act as a believer and if we're in Christ.
Yeah, I think one thing I want to add to that, that this wasn't clear to me right away, is there are passages that say, for this is the will of God for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are just some more implicit things where, for instance, looking at the creation aspect and creation, fall, redemption, consummation. We're looking at the creation piece. How did God design this to be? Were there some explicit boundaries that were placed on this? It says, this is what God's will for marriage looks like. This is what his will for, you know, his people looks like. Whatever those things are, that I would kind of group that in.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Okay, and lastly, to do good works and allow your light to shine before others so they may see your good works. That's Matthew 5:16. So at the end of the day, we know we gave you kind of a big list, but I'll never forget the time one of our team members mentioned, she said that her dad would always just say, love Jesus, do what you want. And I thought that was so helpful of a summation of all of these different things, this idea that if we love Christ, if we love Jesus with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then what we want to do will be informed and conformed to the image of Christ. And so we won't want to do something that's outside of God's law and commands because we don't want to disobey him. And so that has been really, really helpful as I've made decisions and realizing that, hey, there is a lot of freedom. You know, on the last episode, we talked a lot about how boundaries bring freedom and God gives us those laid out in scripture. He lays out his boundaries for his people. But within that, there's such beauty and an open space for us to safely be able to live out all that he commands. And so love Jesus, do what you want.
For sure. And a quick plug I would give to using something like the Abide Method, which we have on Risen Motherhood that you can download, or working through Bible study over the course of many, many years is really, really important here. Because if we're going to know who Jesus actually is and what the Word of God actually says, I feel like in our culture today, there's a lot of redefining who Jesus is and kind of broadening what he said.
Absolutely,
or moving the fences around or reinterpreting things. And so that is how we're going to know if we are actually walking in his ways. And all of those things we just gave you about, these are the general things that God has for his will, came from our Bible study over the course of years and our understanding of scripture.
That's good. That's a good word. Okay. So for our own personal lives, what does this look like? So we have all these things laid out in scripture. And like Emily said, we encourage you to go study that for yourself, but then we have to like actually apply it in our daily lives. And I think that this is one of those more difficult things. This is where when I said to Emily a while ago, I just want to make sure that I'm a good mom. I don't want to fail my kids. It's like, well, I know what God has commanded of me, but yet why am I still feeling this turmoil in my soul? And it's because how it plays out can sometimes feel a little bit more difficult.
This is where I think it's helpful for me to think through my allegiance and kind of what order I have to go through in my mind of, okay, what does the Lord say about this? His word trumps everything. And then walking through things like, well, what does my husband want to do? What are people who know me in real life wanting to do? And thinking, am I working through that systematically, or am I trying to obey or adhere to some of the things we were talking about earlier in the show and that we talked about in a previous show, like the microculture of, you know, my church community or the people that I live around or people that I'm following online, whatever those things are that I feel like, oh, I'm supposed to be that way.
Yeah. To build on that, I think for me, whenever I'm making decisions, I look to the big three to nod along. And so that's first God, like you mentioned, M. So as far as my understanding goes, is there biblical freedom here? Does this align what I know to be true in God's word? Or is he kind of opening the door here? Or am I just like prying it open with a crowbar? And then second, I look to my husband, right? If I'm married, then is my husband affirming this decision? And then kind of those close friends and family members. So I would count Emily among this, where I'm like, hey, this is kind of what I'm thinking. This is kind of what I'd like to do. What do you think? And are they affirming, or are they, you know, raising concerns in something that I'd like to pursue? And this is something that my dad used to tell me, and I'm pretty sure he got it from his pastor, although I can't remember. But he would often say, okay, you have to have the availability, the giftings, and the opportunity, and you kind of need all three to pursue something. And so I look for the big three to affirm what I'm thinking about. So God, husband, friends, and family that are in real life. And then I also think through those three things, like, well, I might, you know, have the availability and the opportunity, but like, I'm not good at it. I'm not talented at all. And it would actually be really bad for me to enter into that. So maybe that means that's not somewhere for me to be.
Another thing when I'm thinking about God's will, and we talk about this a lot, is needing to cultivate wisdom, right? That wisdom is fearing the Lord. It's understanding principles from the Bible and trying to figure out how they apply to our real life situation. So there's knowledge, like, okay, I read these things. And then there's the real life boots on the ground. I understand how this translates into real life. And I think this takes a lot of time.
It does.
I think it takes discipleship. I think it takes, you know, sitting under good preaching and teaching week after week. It's having good mentors and counselors and reading good books and praying and crying out to God. You know, there's that, of course, very reassuring verse. What is it in James? It's like, anybody who needs wisdom, ask. We should be asking God, how do I take the truths of your word and apply it to my situation? And so this is a really critical piece for understanding his will.
Yeah. Another one is walking in the Spirit. And, you know, this is something where I used to hear people always say, like, kind of watch where God is working and go there. And it kind of bothered me, I'm not going to lie, because what I thought it indicated was that, well, God's not working in my life. Like, the Spirit's not in me. Like, no, it feels very anti-biblical, right? But as I've thought through what people are really meaning by walking in the Spirit or watching where God is working, I think what it actually just means is to see that sometimes, like, God is opening opportunities for my sanctification or for me to hone some of those things that I need to work on by walking in his will by the power of the Holy Spirit. For example, I think sometimes it's like, I don't know, I get frustrated with my kiddos, and what I want to do is to react in anger, but instead I see, no, this is a moment where I can obey God. I can pursue holiness and speak to them in kindness. Or I see somebody who is homeless on the side of the road, and I feel that prompting in my spirit. And I happen to have a gift card in my car, or I happen to have cash. And so, okay, great. Like, there's an opportunity here for me to walk in the Spirit. It's simply to have these sanctified eyes, right? To see the world through the needs, to see the world and its needs through the eyes of Christ. So this for me has been to work on having compassion and mercy and offering justice and defense and even being willing to risk my reputation or my time or my energy so that another may know Christ.
Mm-hmm. For me, this is similar to what you're saying, very much trying to bring this into whatever God has placed in front of me. And a couple of years ago, I started praying in the morning that God would help me to see the good works that he has for me, to walk in them. And that helps me look at each situation where maybe an unexpected text message comes up, or, you know, my child asks me for something or has kind of a funny question that I'm like, that's interesting. Instead of just blowing past that or just ignoring it, to say, this may be part of the way that God wants me to love somebody else today in this specific situation. So maybe instead of just telling my child, like, whoop, nope, I've got another agenda and I've got to stay on this certain path, to tune into that and realize, oh, maybe I should press in here, or maybe this should prompt me to get online and see if I can get a book that can help answer some of those questions, and I can participate in the work that God is doing in their heart. And so I don't know if that makes sense, but It's just kind of having that lens on as I'm going throughout my day.
Well, it's the reality that in motherhood, interruptions are ministry, right?
Yes.
Like, those interruptions, I totally know what you're saying, where I feel like this is not what I had for my day or this is not what I had planned. But more often than not, when those interruptions happen, I realize that was a moment of real fruit for me, or perhaps just a way to love another. And it meant a ton. And maybe it didn't even take a lot of my own time. But that is what it means to kind of walk in the Spirit and to be sensitive and recognize that the Holy Spirit is living and active in you, and that there are opportunities that the Lord is throwing over and over again mm-hmm. for you to respond rightly. And like, these are all chances for you to grow in holiness and in obedience and to walk in God's will. And I think that that has been like a huge game changer for me, because I start to live my life very differently than when previously I was probably pretty self-focused. And I still get that way, you know, sure. often.
Well, yeah, it's like those moments, you know, at the end of the day, even before dinner, you know, I kind of thought we were going to outgrow this season where between 3 to 5 or 3 to 7 p.m. or whatever was really hard.
The witching hour.
But it's still hard, just yeah. in different ways. And it's in those moments for me thinking, okay, what is God's will for me right now? My son with special needs is having a meltdown and is throwing books everywhere. My older kids are running around outside somewhere and I'm trying to get them in the house. My toddler daughter is crying and wants another cup of milk. Okay, God's will for me right now is patience, is love, is joy, is thanksgiving, is rejoicing, is praying. And knowing that it's a lot more about who I am in that moment than whether or not I have my kids come in to watch a show, or I let them play outside for another 15 minutes, or whether I get my daughter a piece of, like, yes, those decisions matter, but it's way more about how I'm going to respond
yeah.
and look like Christ in that moment. That's to me where the battle of obedience is.
Well, I like what you said there of just about what God cares about is who I'm becoming mm-hmm. or who I am in that moment. And I think that that's really, really true. And I do think, and I think you would agree, Em, that God sometimes does work in really big ways, or he works. He has definitely worked in signs and wonders in the past, right?
Yes.
And I think that there are times where God really disrupts people's lives and there are massive changes for them that they are to respond to. But more often than not, when we're talking about just kind of the ordinary believer in 2021, it's probably more about living faithfully in your own home and making wise decisions through the counsel of others and according to God's word. And that's what faithfulness looks like. That's what living into God's will looks like.
Yes. And I think I've been seeing a lot of this more resonating online as people are going, hey, how are we going to live as Christians right now? Like, what's the radical thing we're supposed to do? And some of us may be called to do outwardly radical things, but like, yes. you want to be radical? Invest faithfully in your children, love your family, go to church every week, you know, have an in real life community of people that you invest in, you know, that you love on, continue to live like a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
That is radical
Amen.
In our world.
Yes.
That's radical.
Yes. So before we close, I think there's only one other thing that I just wanted to mention, which was recognizing that your conscience has some differences from the Holy Spirit. Your conscience is your moral compass. It's what you naturally feel is right and wrong. But the Holy Spirit living inside of you is actually the thing that's transforming you to do the work of Christ. And so it could be that your conscience isn't necessarily calibrated correctly. And Emily and I did a lot of deep work on the conscience a couple of years ago. So I would actually just really point you to that show that we talked about with personal conscience. We will link it in the show notes. But if you don't feel like you really understand the difference between the Holy Spirit and your conscience, because they both feel like conviction at times. And so it can be like really confusing, and it's a complicated topic at some level. I would just implore you to go listen to that show and to kind of start to understand where there are some differences between those two things, and where perhaps you might be able to gain some freedom that you didn't feel prior. Or you might even feel more conviction if you recalibrate that conscience.
Yeah, because I think a lot of the things we've even been talking about in terms of God's will today is a little bit assuming that we're talking about gray areas, that we're talking about decisions that could go one way or the other. They're a little bit morally neutral, or they a little bit depend on your circumstances or where you're at in life, or all of those different things. But we want to be clear that there are decisions that are explicitly against God's will, and that God, you know, sometimes you'll hear people say, well, God is telling me to do this, or I just have a real piece about that. But it's something that is clearly disobedient to scripture.
Yeah.
Like, God is never going to ask you to disobey something. special just for you, you know, in order to follow his will. Like, it's not in his will to reject his commands or to rewrite or to change or to reinterpret. And I think those are things we have to be really careful of, that when there is something clear, we don't try to explain it away or get around it or whatnot, but that we really repent and come to the Lord and ask for his help and in with the Spirit.
Yeah, this goes back to the whole love Jesus, do what you want, that if you know him truly, deeply from the word, then you will be able to understand, you know, what these differences are, where God's law divides and where it lands, and you won't be muddling in between these things. So a good word. Okay, I think that's all we have for today.
Yeah, walk by faith.
Hi. My name's Talitha, and I donate to Risen Motherhood because it is a ministry that I have personally benefited from, as it has encouraged me to glorify God in the everyday challenging moments of motherhood. Join me in providing free resources for mums at risenmotherhood.com/donate.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by people just like you. And don't forget, if you'd like to donate in honor of someone that you love, head over to risenmotherhood.com/dedicate gift.